Welcome to the Real Talk of Dental, where we pull back the bib and talk about what's really going on beneath the surface. Not just the charts, not just the systems. We're talking about the culture, the chaos, and the confessions. I'm Brandy Marzolino, and with 20 years deep in this industry, I am fresh out of patience for performative leadership. This is your space to laugh, cry, question everything, and maybe shout into a pillow between patients. We've got anonymous confessions, we've got call-ins, we've got ops room drama, and we've got the truth, served hot and a little too real. Think of this as your backstage pass to the break room no one dares to mic. Until now. Hey, before we get started, I want to tell you about something that's changing the game for women in dental leadership. It's called the Empowered Leadership Experience for Women in Dental. It's a six-month transformational journey for women who are done with burnout, over-functioning, and trying to lead like someone they're not. This isn't just another leadership training. It's a coming home to your voice, your power, and your joy. If you've ever felt alone at the top or stuck somewhere in the middle, this one's for you. Enrollment is now open. Head to leadhership-experience.com to enroll. Because real leadership isn't about performing. It's about remembering who you are. Now, let's get into today's episode. Ken Kaufman is the co-founder of AcruDent, and he is a CFO man that is committed to the world of dentistry and getting everyone onto accrual accounting. He does that during the day. He's a dad of eight by night. This man is unstoppable. He's incredibly passionate. And like I say in today's episode, if there's somebody that can make me laugh and listen endlessly about accounting and the principles behind accounting, it's Ken. We dive into the importance of having confidence in your numbers and how you can achieve it yourself with the help of going into accrual accounting. It's not a sexy topic, but it is so critical, and I just appreciate all the work that Ken is doing in this space. Ken informed me offline that he doesn't listen to music, and I always said that was a deal breaker in who I could be friends with and would help cause me not to trust somebody. However, I do make a hard pass for Ken in this case because I trust Ken wholeheartedly, and I think he probably just doesn't listen to music because he's so busy crushing it with helping others and this world of bringing everyone into accrual accounting. He's been there, he's done it, he recognizes the enormous importance of it and what it can really do for you as a business owner and a leader. Because when you're finally confident in your actual numbers and you know the worth of your business, it changes how you show up. And it also changes how you can forecast and lead from a place of knowing versus leading from a place of I hope. Can't wait for you to listen to today's episode. And if you're not following Ken on the socials or aware of what he's up to and you want to get more clarity on your numbers or challenge your current bookkeeping or accounting company to do better, listen to this because we're going to set you up on how to do just that. And I'm so excited to have you with me today because we're going to be talking all things accounting, which is such a critical topic for everyone in this industry and not always the most glamorous. But if there's a guy that can make me laugh about accounting and communicate it in the most basic of terms, it's you. So thanks for being with us. I think everyone that's going to watch this, I feel like knows you by now because you have been on tour preaching about your perspective when it comes to numbers and accounting, and everyone just adores you. So I'm really excited that we're going to have this conversation. So let's jump right into it. What mission are you on in the world of dental accounting?
So Brandy, we've got a problem. We've got a big problem in the dental industry. We, generally speaking, are far underserving dental practices and dental groups in terms of getting them accurate information. And the easiest way to probably think about this is if I gave you completely inaccurate directions on how to get somewhere, there's absolutely no way you'll get there. And that's exactly what we're doing in the dental finance world right now. The thought of me giving you directions that were just so precise, all the landmarks are designed just to make sure that you don't make any wrong turn or anything along the way. We're able to do it, but the industry has neglected it. And the reason why is because it's kind of hard to do. And the concept that I'm talking about here is something called accrual accounting. And accrual accounting is a function of the financial state and the financial growth and shrinkage of dental practice or dental group. And really large DSOs, they do accrual accounting. And it's the best practice because it gets you the most accurate information. And the most powerful thing about it, and I'll go back and just hit a couple of details so people understand it. But on the high level, as soon as you have accuracy, you now have the ability to forecast with great accuracy. I have over and over people say, hey, Ken, can you build out a financial model to tell me if I should do this or if I should do that? And I'll say, great. Well, the foundation is going to be whatever your financial information is. And we use that as a foundation. And if it's not on accrual accounting, that modeling and that forward-looking planning and cash forecasting is completely inaccurate. Not to say that like when you forecast, it's always going to be a little bit wrong one direction or the other. But what you lose is the ability to plan with confidence. And so instead, what you have is leaders will look at financials, they'll understand maybe a little bit of it, and possibly they'll make bad decisions because they don't have accurate information in front of them, whether that's what happened last month or what are we going to do next month and how are we going to build and grow our practice or how are we going to implement our next growth initiative and are we going to run out of cash or not? Those are the types of questions that have DSO leaders and practice owners like stressing out about all the time. So that's kind of a high level. If I now sort of peel back the curtain of what's going on, accrual accounting has been around, forever. And its purpose is to bring accuracy. And the way you do that is by something called the matching principle. The matching principle is you want to line up, so it's not about collections. It's about what procedures are getting completed during that period of time, which let's say it's a month. And it's about what procedures are being completed and what are the costs associated with completing those procedures. So you've got doctor pay, you've got assistant pay, you've got supplies, labs. We can go down the whole list of all of those different things. But all those things get lined up so that when you look at your financial performance, you can see what actually happened. But cash basis accounting is often the default because for two reasons. Number one is, it is the easiest way to do it. Accrual accounting is harder than cash basis. It also gets you better information and can make you more successful over time. And so the problem that we're trying to solve here is to get everything lined up in the same period using this matching principle. And we care about collections, but what we really care about is what's getting done during that period of time, what production is being created during that period of time. And a good example of this would be, let's say that you are a full arch shop and you collect the fees up front. That's not earned revenue. Guess what? That's actually a liability. If you have not done the work yet, but you have that money in your bank account, it's actually a liability. Because if the patient decides not to move forward with the procedure, then you're going to have to do a refund back. And so we don't count revenue. We don't count anything until it crosses over that line of production's been completed. And again, without having this as the underpinning driver for your financial information, you're just guessing. And it's about what's coming in and out of the bank account, which like I said, like you could collect a big, huge $50,000 fee for full arch and everybody be like, wow, look, our revenue went up. Well, no, it didn't. We haven't even done the work yet. We haven't done the production. And so all that being said, laying the groundwork, the mission that we are on at Accrudent is we want to democratize the cost and the challenges that people have trying to put this in place. We want to democratize that so that everybody can access it. It's a very lofty goal. I think I wake up about one night a week where I think, holy cow, what are we getting ourselves into? And there's a lot of things that we have to solve in the PMS systems and other things like that, but it has to be done. And nobody's doing it. Every bookkeeper out there, CPAs, unless I'd say, maybe you've got 15, 20 locations and you're really like building out a DSO, you've got a full-time CFO on, you've got a full-time controller. Unless you're there, you don't have access to this tool, which means you're not going to have the level of confidence that the larger DSOs have when they're making decisions on growth and building their organization.
Yeah. And so what is the top three consequences for somebody not practicing accrual accounting if they're more cash accounting?
So consequence number one is you have no ability to really have accuracy around forecasting. So you're really, really limited and you're going to be making it up as you go. The second piece of the puzzle is from an attestation perspective, like an outside CPA that would come in and look at your financial statements, or if you want to go to a bank and get a loan or do things like that. Without accrual accounting, you are not going to get as much. They may turn you away completely, or if they do move forward, you're not going to get as much as you should if you had accrual. And a great example of this is we're helping a client right now. This is something that we do regularly, but we're helping them raise debt. And in the process, and this one, it was so awesome that it worked out this way, but the lender said, oh, you're on accrual. Well, that's great. We can actually get you an extra $1 million on this credit facility that you're in the process of getting. So the second piece of this is that besides just the inaccuracy, now we also have limited funds or perhaps no funds to be able to grow. Does that make sense? And then the third component here is that as a leader, you're not going to have confidence in the information that you have. And so your decision-making ability, you're going to be hampered. And knowing that your competitors or, you know, other dental groups have access to this, they generally can lead with more confidence in where they're trying to take the organization than those who know that the information they're looking at and that they're basing decisions on is just not accurate. It's not coming from a place of accuracy.
Yeah. And that when you're not rooted or grounded in your numbers with a lot of clarity and confidence, that definitely impacts your leadership. So if someone was to make the shift, right, and start working with you, what are some of the first steps you have to do? Because like you're saying, the alternative is quote unquote much easier. So it sounds like it's a pretty big lift if somebody's going to make the transition. How does one start? What are some of the typical steps when they onboard with you?
Sure. So the process involves the practice management software. That's one of the things that makes this fairly difficult or complex to do. And it involves reaching into that and pulling different sets of data. And so when we work with somebody in this capacity, the very first thing we do, and we do this at our cost, we actually stand up a data warehouse and we work with all of the different data sources. We have a few that we like better than others, but we stand that up. And then that gives us the ability to grab all of the information on some of it's automated, some of it's not, because we're still working our way through building automation for each one of the PMS systems. But for the ones we have it in place with, then on an automated basis, we're able to pull out the exact information that we need, generate everything to put the accrual accounting in place. And what that looks like is if right now you have somebody doing your bookkeeping, it means that besides them looking and saying, oh, here's this expense and it goes into this general ledger or into this chart of account, we have additional entries that we put on top of those additional journal entries that convert that cash basis into accrual. I won't get into all the nitty gritty, but that's what we do. And we really haven't hit many challenges because we want to democratize this and make it affordable for everybody and accessible to everybody. We're not where we want to be all the way with that. But with the clients that we are converting right now, it generally takes 30 days. If we're running a little behind, like if we've got more volume, maybe it's 45 days and the full conversion is done. And then every month thereafter, we stay involved with the bookkeeping component, because when you put the entries in, they then have to be reversed out the next month and then the new ones put in. A very, very quick, simple process. And then once you're on it, like you're good to go. And now all of a sudden you can raise more funds. You know, you can move forward now with confidence that you have all the accurate and right information about your organization so that you can figure out the best and most effective way to grow.
So have you run into, you know, dental practice owners that thought they were way more profitable or way more successful than they actually were after, you know, moving to the accrual basis? Or what kind of horror stories do you have about people living in this alternate reality?
Yeah. So we have enough clients and different experiences now where we have data. And what I can tell you is that generally speaking, your financial statements are 5 to 20% inaccurate, meaning we looked at it, everything on a cash basis and what the financials were saying. And then we did our conversion to accrual and we were seeing a variance of that much. And it's pretty significant.
Yeah, I bet. So it sounds like, I mean, you guys are doing it, right? It's tapping into the practice management software. So you're able to recognize when the treatment is completed. And then also, I assume, what payouts for like associates and things like that. You know, that's probably a big one as well, like anticipating that.
Another big one is, this comes on the balance sheet when you look at your financial statements, but the accounts receivable is a big one. And that's something that generally speaking, like cash basis, it's just, well, we just count whatever comes through the bank. The accounts receivable allows us to take a look and say, okay, what procedures have been completed that we have not been paid for yet? And that's a lot of what the adjusting entries are doing, is picking that up so that we can see what was actually completed. And then we know how much still needs to be collected to quote unquote say that, or paid by insurance, depending on what how the office is set up and, you know, everything that goes with that.
Yeah. So if you guys are doing it, I mean, it sounds like the way you're describing it, maybe this is just your genius, but the way you're describing it is that it's possible and it's not that hard. It's just more steps. Is that right? Again, because you're saying the alternative is just way easier. Is it so that people can, I mean, I guess you've been in the accounting world for a long time. Why, aside from it just being easier, what are some other reasons why more people aren't doing accrual accounting?
So there have been some horror stories, and I'd love to take a second and sort of try to debunk some of the things that have happened. But for example, I know a group, let's see, I think that they were around 15 to 20 locations. And by the way, when you get to that size, you've got to get to maybe if you have one practice, maybe it's not the absolute most important thing, but if you get to 3 or 5, it's a big deal. But when you get bigger, like it's absolutely mandatory, especially from an attestation perspective. But there was a group that engaged an accounting firm, and that accounting firm came in and said, "We'll go ahead and convert you to accrual." 6 months later, they had spent $100,000 and weren't anywhere near being on accrual. So there are a few horror stories like that that I think scare people away. We have now over 15, almost 20 clients that are, you know, active and accrual works, and everything's fine. And in fact, the leadership is making better decisions and they're gaining and all of the benefits that come from it. But that's one of the big things, is people are afraid of it because they've heard some horror stories. And it's also something that they don't know. Like, for example, let's use doctor pay. Doctors generally understand collection. They don't understand the timing of when procedures are done. Collections are super easy to look at and see. And there are a lot of dental groups that pay their dentists based on that. And so when you talk to a dentist or a group that's used to looking at everything on a cash basis, they are a little bit hesitant to say, well, what is this accrual and why do I need it? And like, I'm just fine with cash basis. My doctors are all happy. If we change, does that now mean that their pay will be based on accrual and not on cash? And how does all that work? So, and again, all of these things, they have easy solutions and we've done it for a long time. In fact, I think we're just about to cross 150 dental practices converted to accrual since we started on this mission a year ago. We have obviously a long, long way to go, but yeah, it's making a big difference.
I think you were sharing with me one other time too, it sets offices up better if they're looking to sell to a DSO, because some of these practices are shortchanging themselves if their accounting is off. Is that right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. You're going to get more credit if you're trying to raise money from the bank, or if you're looking to sell or partner with with a larger group or DSO, you're just going to get more credit. And for example, if you have, let's say, 10 practices and you want to sell them, you have to go through something called a Q of E, or quality of earnings. And when you go through that process, guess what? The very first thing that all those firms do is they have to convert everything over to accrual. If you show up and you're already on accrual, you're going to get a higher valuation, period. Because, like, you know your stuff, you're on top of it, and the buyer is going to look at that and say, oh, these are great operators. They're doing things the right way. And remember, a buyer like private equity or other dental groups that have sophisticated, you know, financial systems in place, they see everything through the tiny little keyhole of the financial statements. I mean, that's how they look at it. And if you're on accrual, they're going to be like, wow, these guys are on it. They're running a great business. They're phenomenal operators. They may be horrible operators. They may be chasing off associates left and right by all the dumb decisions that they're making. But at the end of the day, the financial partners are going to look at it and you're going to get more credit for it.
Yeah, you're right. Because a lot of, you know, private owners usually shop around to a variety of DSOs and say, you know, what is my practice worth to you? And they're not coming from the place of empowerment of, this is how much I know my practice is worth and this is why. And they're shopping it out, which is wise to do. But at the same time, it's, some of them don't know what their business is worth until a DSO comes along and tells them what it's worth, because they're running it through their numbers. And then they just take it as, okay, well, I guess that's what it's worth, unless they take other steps, you know, with valuations and stuff like that. But the confidence isn't there. I've seen it every single time.
That's exactly right. And I've been through a lot of transactions. I've been in dental since 2006 in the CFO seat for, you know, two very large organizations that are doing probably $400 million a year in revenue at this point. And having gone through all that and seen it, the number one thing, I'll throw this out to all the listeners, but the number one thing, if you're going to sell or do any of this, is you need to go on offense, period. And you need to then stay on offense. And it means you drive the narrative, you control the process, you do not let the buyer control the process, because it's your business, it's your baby. And being on accrual, having that level of confidence. And by the way, when a dental group is on offense and they're on accrual, what it means is they're able to do really good forecasting. And guess what? That gets them more credit as well. Because when you say, here's my 5-year plan, here are all my assumptions and why I've, and the, all the data behind validating those assumptions, that all of my assumptions are very achievable. Here's what the next 5-year looks like. Guess what? The buyer is going to pay more for that. They're going to look at that and they're literally going to say, here's how much EBITDA we're going to be able to generate over the next 5 years. We discount it back to today's dollars. And then guess what? That's your valuation. And if you have crappy forecasting, if you don't have validated assumptions, you haven't gone through a process where you really have a handle on it, you're on defense. The whole process, you're on defense. But when you're on offense, you just keep pointing to, hey, remember my 5-year model over here? That's all yours. If you guys can step up, pony up, and get us what we need to get this transaction done. Anyways, I can talk on this forever, but
I know, I love your passion though. It's great.
Going on offense is, I don't know. I think it's the number one thing that drives value, period, when you're trying to sell.
Yeah. No. And like I said, I've seen it myself, not from the finance side, but just in the way a lot of private owners are. Like, they're just in this, it's a very vulnerable place to be, because somebody's coming along and looking under the hood of your business that you've been putting your blood, sweat, and tears into for, you know, your entire career, and somebody telling you this is what it's worth. You know, it's a very scary time. And I just love what you're saying, because you're giving people the confidence, the knowledge, the wisdom, you know, the foundation to really stand and know, and then also know before they even go out and shop around, so they're not in this very vulnerable place of, you know, being assessed and not knowing what the results are going to be like when they come back. So I really love what you're saying from a coaching perspective. You know, I've seen it so many times, and I love the confidence that you're giving people. And I always see this too. Numbers are such a vulnerable topic for so many owners. There's so much wrapped into the meaning of everything, right? When it comes to finance and the numbers that are glued. I've seen practices, you know, delay selling, even though every part of them wants to sell because they're so terrified of having somebody come along and look under the hood of their business and look at their books because they know it's a hot mess or they don't know what they're going to find or what it means. So I totally get it. And I think this is such a foundational piece, you know, as it ties in with the work I do when it comes to leadership, personal development, business, you know, strategy, all of that.
Yeah, most people have a really weird relationship with money.
I would say 99.9% of people do.
There's a lot of dysfunction around it. And,
yes.
And I'm not trying to call anybody out and say that you're bad if you have dysfunction around it. It's more about owning it and mm-hmm. understanding that. And that's why if somebody's going to go through a process, getting an advisor is critical because they will save you from yourself when it gets into the money talks and those kinds of things. I can share one quick story here. We were selling, I've got the Nomad up here on my shelf back here. Yeah. I ran that business. We sold it to Danaher. In the process though, of going through the suitors to buy that company, one of the groups was very, very savvy, and they figured out how to get the founder into the room with the CEO of this company without me or any of the other advisors with them. And they had a whole game plan to just get, what's your lowest price? What about this? What about this? What about this? Before we could get back to them. And, you know, ultimately they weren't the buyer, and the buyer ended up paying probably almost 20 times more than what they were trying to like squeeze the founder down to, because they knew, they understood what our asset was. We knew what it was worth, but it was really fascinating to watch that and see that, and how, you know, just how valuation in general can work or be swayed one way or the other, going back to this dysfunction we all have around money and the concerns and the problems and, you know, everything that goes with it. I'm sensitive to that. I get it, but numbers are numbers and they tell truth. If you're doing it right, they tell truth. And truth empowers. Truth mm-hmm. gives us the information we need so that we know how to move forward. And so, yeah, there's some emotional stuff around that. And some people maybe have some baggage to work through. But at the end of the day, you get the right advisor around you, you can still get a great process and get a great outcome.
Yeah, I totally agree. And that's something that I believe in too, because I always encourage people to tell the truth, because then we know what we're working with. Right. Mm-hmm. Then it's like, okay, that's just, it is what it is. And now we can move forward. If we're hiding behind stuff, it makes it really hard for people to be able to serve you in the best way and, you know, modify or curate things that are going to support you for your best interest. So, yeah, I know it's cliche to say, but I always say the truth will set you free. I used to hate that saying a lot, but the older I get and the more I work with people, I'm like, oh man, that's everything, right? The truth definitely sets you free, because then you can, you know what you're working with. And it also just relieves you of the shame and the guilt and the fear that you have around it. And you get the right people around you, you know, like someone like yourself that can guide you and go, okay, this is what we're working with. And this is how we can help you get to where you want to go. Now we know what our game plan is, right?
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. Yep. That's awesome. Okay. So I just have to ask, so I'm sure you didn't grow up doing accrual accounting in your accounting life. Was there a moment that you were, you know, in the accounting business where you were like, what the heck is this? Like, we have to do it the other way? Or, right? Because most accountants don't start out with accrual accounting, I'm guessing, especially in dental.
And to be fair to the accounting profession, I technically am not an accountant. I don't have a CPA license. I did an MBA in finance and entrepreneurship. And what happened was very earlier in my career, in fact, Brandy, I was way too young and way too inexperienced to have been given the opportunities that I had early in my career. But I've been sitting in the CFO seat of high growth organizations for basically my entire career until I stepped out of that a year ago to found Accrudent and go on this mission. And I think that the journey has absolutely always ended up revolving around accrual accounting and solving that problem for dental groups. And again, having been in dentistry as long as I have, I probably have way too many opinions and have experienced way too many things to ever like put it all together in one place. But the drive toward accuracy in financial information, that underpins everything that I've done throughout my career. And high growth is really, really difficult because you're constantly having to break things and put them back together and break things and put them back together. I cut my teeth very, very early before I went to MBA school. But after I got out of MBA school, this was a defining moment for me. I've been given a CFO job. It was my first one ever. And I thought, oh, I made it. Because the whole reason I went to MBA school was I want to get into leadership and grow businesses and those sorts of things. And so I walked into this meeting and I'm like, yes, I'm in the room. And I'm with the executive. There's a total of seven sitting around the table. And what happened, what blew my mind. For 30 minutes, there was an argument about why the financial statements that they were looking at were wrong. And I was blown away. I'm like, what? This isn't how it works. And I ultimately raised my hand and said, hey, guys, I can actually fix this. There's a way to do this so that, because it was a construction company. And the estimator said, well, wait a minute. We bought all these extra supplies over here. And that's what's throwing off our financial statements. And then this guy over here that was over operations said, well, no, it's because of this. And it's because of this. I said, actually, we just need to do accrual accounting and we won't have this argument anymore. And then we can actually make decisions and move the business forward in a very productive way. That was, if I had to pick one, that would have been the turning point where I said, wow, there's a right way to run a business and there's a wrong way to run a business. And when you do it the wrong way, it is sure painful. And from a totally blown up executive team meeting to so many other things.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that story. I can picture it in my head too. Well, before we part ways, what is something that you want to bestow upon everyone listening? If there's like a couple key takeaways, what do you want people to really get?
I appreciate the opportunity. And by the way, great questions today. It's been awesome. I think that the one thing that I would love to happen the most from people that are sitting listening is there is a path to get to this accuracy, and getting to accuracy will bring you more value, period. I've got stories and I could rattle those off for hours and hours. And I won't do that because that would be really boring for everybody. But the key thing is that if you can get to this place where you appreciate what the numbers are telling you, it completely changes how you operate the business and how you think about your business and the level of confidence you will have moving your business forward in the direction that you want to go. I can't stress that enough. If that's all you can take away from this, yeah, I just encourage you to continue to keep leveling up the financial component of the business and try to get to accrual. And if you get there, you will get so much value in return. And again, maybe give me a little more time here, but we're democratizing this. We're getting to where once we get accrual in place, basically you can have accrual into perpetuity for about the cost of what bookkeeping already is costing you. We're just about there. We're just about breaking into that layer of where we're headed. And again, you know, do we make money off of that? We do, because we obviously have to pay for having people do all those processes, but the value you're going to get back is tenfold at least.
Yeah. Yeah. I can see that. And I mean, I know too, it's, for a lot of people, their relationship with their bookkeeper or their accountant, you know, it's they usually keep them forever, right? Because they feel like it's, you know, one and done kind of thing. They have that relationship. It's scary to start over with somebody else. But what I'm also hearing from you too is that, one, I mean, I guess ask, right, your current company or a group you're with to see if they can move to accrual. And if they can't, or it seems really expensive or excessive, you know, of how they lay it out to you, that even if they were to move over to you and your company, that it's not as painful as one might think. And you have it all so dialed in and you're aware of the pain points that you'll be able to help people, you know, and guide them through that pretty easily.
And we've had clients say, okay, so, you know, what do I need to do? And how much time is this going to take me? This is a done for you deal. We don't need them. We need our high level team to come in and do their work, and then it's done. And then everything else moves forward. I will say this one thing. If you go and talk to your accountant about this, one of the big concerns that will come up will be, well, wait a minute. No. For taxes, we do not want to be on accrual basis. So don't switch to accrual. They're skipping over something very important. And that is that you can keep your books on accrual and you can still pay taxes on a cash basis. And that sometimes gets a little bit confused or lost in translation. It's very easy. I'll geek out for 1 second here, Brandy, but on the tax return, it's called an M1 adjustment. And it's where at the end of every year, if you've been running your books on an accrual basis, but you want to pay taxes on cash basis, there's an M1 adjustment that you just fill that information in and you submit all of your information to the IRS so that you're taxed based on cash basis and not accrual. And the reason why you want to be on cash basis is because if you're paying taxes on accrual, you are paying for all of the receivables that you have not collected yet. And you don't want to pay taxes on something you haven't gotten paid for already. So it is important to just know that distinction. And that's where sometimes there can be a little bit of friction between saying, hey, we want to be on accrual for our books on a book basis so that we can run our business the right way. And then we'll do this M1 adjustment every year so that we can still use the tax code to our advantage.
Yeah. Awesome. That's super helpful. Thank you so much, Ken. I love it. Both of us seek the truth and like to tell the truth. And both of us believe that education and information is power for people to be able to live, you know, the lives that they want to live. And I'm so grateful that you're doing the work that you're doing and that you're so passionate about it, because you could easily be off in your corner just ho-humming through life. But you're on a mission to help other people to feel empowered in something that's like so critical, especially in the dental space. So I'm super grateful for all that you're doing for everybody out there. So thank you.
Thank you, Brandy. It's been an absolute pleasure to spend this time with you.
You just listened to The Real Talk of Dental. If it hit, if it stung, if it made you feel just a little more human, good. That's the point. This isn't about fixing practices. It's about healing people. And if you're brave enough to show up real in this industry, you're my kind of leader. Subscribe, call in, send your wildest workplace confession. And most importantly, don't clean up for anyone. The mess, that's where the magic lives. We'll see you again on the next episode.